Welcome to the Yes Collective podcast. The Yes Collective is an emotional health studio run by the best therapists and psychologists around. Our team focuses on cutting-edge approaches like internal family systems, somatic therapies, authentic relating, and trauma-informed experiential group practices. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook to learn more. I'm Justin Wilford, PhD, Director of Content, and co-founder of Yes Collective. And each week, I join my host, Jenny Walters, licensed therapist and co-CEO of Yes Collective, to bring you the most amazing cutting-edge therapists, psychologists, coaches, and other leaders in emotional health. Thanks so much for joining us, and be sure to subscribe and review on Apple Podcasts. Welcome to the Yes Collective podcast. My name is Justin Wilford, and normally I am joined by my amazing, wonderful co-host, Jenny Walters, but today I am solo. I am so solo that I don't even have a guest today. The reason for this is that next week I am starting a four-week live studio circle in the Yes Collective network on internal family systems. It's called IFS for Your Daily Life. Level one, it's 4 weeks. We're going to be covering the basics of internal family systems, the model, daily practices, because it's really about bringing it into your daily life. And what I wanted to do today was talk about IFS and just answer some basic questions. So I reached out to a bunch of different people asking for basic questions related to internal family systems. And so I have a list of 10 questions about internal family systems. And these are from people who don't know a lot about internal family systems. So I have some really wonderful close friends who know a lot, and I didn't ask them. I asked the people who are kind of new to it because I wanted to get those fresh questions. So I've got 10 questions today. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not going to write down any of the answers. I'm just going to go off the top of my head. I have been training in IFS for many years at this point. I am kind of obsessed about IFS, and I've been obsessed for at least, I'd say, 3.5 years. And so I am just thrilled to be able to share this obsession with you all. I am a trained IFS practitioner through the Internal Family Systems Institute. I have trained in IFS through several other training organizations, and I do this work one-on-one. I do it in groups. I started doing it in groups through our nonprofit Maxwell Project, bringing it into my mindfulness work. So this work is really near and dear to my heart. I can't wait to start next week. So without further ado, buckle up for this solo podcast, just me and 10 questions about internal family systems. Okay, question number one, why is it called internal family systems? I love this question because I wondered the same thing. In fact, when I first heard about internal family systems, I was put off by the name. It sounded boring. It sounded clinical, internal family system. None of it really resonated for me. And then I learned why it was called internal family systems, and it all made sense. So it was created in the early 1980s by a family systems therapist. His name is Richard Schwartz. He's around today doing still amazing work after all these years. And he was a young family systems therapist who was bringing his work into a study with patients with eating disorders. So in family systems therapy, there is this unwritten rule that you just don't ask what's going on inside of anybody's head. You can do everything externally by making sure that family members in a family system, a literal family, right? Mom, dad, brother, sister, that if you can just get this family system to work in the right way, if you can get everyone to communicate openly, honestly, if you can teach all the family members how to create healthy boundaries, how to create healthy roles and healthy hierarchies in a family system, Basically, if you can get the family system to work in the right way, then mental and emotional health problems should resolve. You're done. And so Richard Schwartz brought this into a study on patients with eating disorders. And he was doing the family systems work, and he was just running up against a brick wall. Nothing was changing. And so one day he throws up his hands and he starts to ask what's going on inside of his patients' heads. And they start to talk about parts. And so a typical story might be, you know, when my mom yells at me, a part of me wants to crawl out of my skin. And then another part of me knows that if I eat or I purge or if I cut myself, then I can come back into my body. I can calm down a little bit. And there's another part that's so ashamed and hates that. And another part that is sad and pessimistic that things will ever change. And so they just started to talk about all of these parts. Eventually, Schwartz understands, or he starts to think, I can do family systems therapy, but internally. I can if I can get these parts to talk openly and honestly, if they can understand each other's roles, if you can understand the hierarchies and the conflicts inside and teach conflict resolution between the parts, right? All the stuff that he would be doing in an external family, he could just do internally. And if he could do that, then his patients should get better. And that is, there's a lot more to the story than that, because it's actually a really beautiful story about how it all unfolds. That's kind of the beginning. I mean, that's where internal family systems come from, doing family systems therapy internally with our internal parts. There's a lot more that he learns about in the next couple of years as he starts to explore this approach. It's a really revolutionary approach. He had a really hard time bringing it out into the larger world of psychology, psychotherapy. But today, 40 years later, it's now growing and expanding like wildfire in all the best ways. And it's really due to his visionary approach in those early days. So that is why it is called internal family system. Okay, question number two is a two-parter. How does IFS therapy differ from other forms of psychotherapy? And can IFS therapy be used in conjunction with other therapeutic approaches? Okay, I'm going to try really hard not to say critical things about other psychotherapeutic approaches. I have a kind of general overview answer for this, and it's that pretty much every other form of psychotherapy that I'm aware of works with our healthiest, most mature manager parts. Manager parts being an IFS term for a particular type of part inside. And these manager parts are pretty much always the most mature parts in our system. We have exile parts, we have firefighter parts. You're going to learn all about these parts in the studio circle, in the 4-week live studio circle that I'll be leading. But I believe almost every psychotherapeutic approach outside of IFS, in one way or another, is working with mature, or at least our most mature, healthiest manager parts inside. The aim of IFS is not to collude with a manager part, but it's rather to make more space inside for a deeper capital S self, is what we call it in IFS. In the studio circle, I'll just refer to it as true self. I just find it easier when doing this type of work to say true self instead of capital S self. But the main goal of internal family systems is to make more room inside for our true self, and then our parts, manager parts and firefighter parts and exile parts, as they unburden, as they get more energy from our true self, as they come into deeper relationship with our true self, they begin to let go of their burdens. They begin to become healthier, they heal, and they become integrated. And then we have a more harmonious system that is, in IFS terms, is self-led, is led by our true self. In these other approaches, I believe that they can indeed make more room for true self. I mean, as we begin to have healthier relationships and we learn how to lead lives that are more connected, that are calmer, we begin to reflect and lead more purposeful, meaningful, connected lives, we're going to have more room for true self in our system. But if we still have manager parts that think that they are us, that they are the true self, and they're the ones leading the show, it puts a limit on how much growth and how much healing we can do. That is what I've seen. That has been my experience. And so that is how I think IFS differs from other forms of psychotherapy. IFS does not collude with any other parts inside, that our aim is to make more space inside for our capital S self, our true self, and that this self then is available not just to the manager parts, but to firefighters and exiles, and eventually leading to a more harmonious system where these top level manager parts that can be very rational or very disciplined or very perfection oriented, very achievement oriented, that they get to come into relationship with our true self, just like every other part. And they get to let go of some of their more intense behaviors and become more integrated. Okay, can IFS therapy be used in conjunction with other therapeutic approaches? Yes, I absolutely think so. My only caveat to that is that I believe, okay, I'm just going to sound like an evangelical for this, and I've just come to terms with this. It's just the way it is. Maybe someday I'll change my mind on this and I'll be happy to announce that change of mind. But I believe IFS is really the way to go. I think that it should be the centerpiece. So yes, it can work with all of these other therapeutic approaches, but I think IFS should be the centerpiece. And then different therapeutic approaches can come in particular ways, particular times, particular avenues and methods. But I think IFS is not just one approach among many. I really do believe it hits on something very fundamental, very deep, very true about human nature, and not just human nature, but about deep spirituality and how okay, I'm going to get a little nutty here, but I think there's something that's even bigger than human nature that IFS touches on. And that's because it is a systems approach. And so what do we mean by systems approach? We are talking about, whenever we talk about systems, we're essentially talking about parts and wholes and how parts make up a whole and how that whole is just a part of another whole. And that hole is a part of another hole, and that's going up. You can go systems going down. So those parts themselves are holes. And then you can go down and you can see that that hole has parts. And then you can see that those parts are holes in themselves. And when I say hole here, sorry, W-H-O-L-E, a hole. Why am I talking about systems theory or systems approach? Is that if we understand our internal world as a system of parts, and we take systems theory seriously, that everything is really a part of a whole and all wholes are parts. And we see this from the cellular, you know, we have cells. These cells are wholes, W-H-O-L-E, in the sense that they contain parts. You can look into a cell, you've learned in biology, you know, all the organelles, whatever, in a cell. And so that would be going down, but then going up, you see that a cell is a part of, say, an organ in your body. So like your kidney cell is a part of your kidney. And so your kidney would be a whole, W-H-O-L-E. And you simultaneously, it is also a part. The kidney is a part of your body, right? And so you can go up. Okay, now your body is a whole, W-H-O-L-E. And you can then see that your body is actually a part of
other holes, W-H-O-L-E-S. They're part of a family or a community, a neighborhood, part of a nation, part of the human family, the human society. Can we go bigger than that? I don't know. We might, well, we can see that humanity is part of the biological whole of Earth, Gaia. And maybe we can go bigger than that. I am getting off track here. But what I love about internal family systems is that it ties up to this larger systems approach that is really profound. It's like going all the way up and all the way down. We are part of a system, and it would make perfect sense that our minds, that our identities are structured in the same way, parts and wholes. That is a long answer to this two-part question, but that's why I think IFS therapy should be the centerpiece of everybody's mental and emotional health practice. And that then, of course, you can add in other things, somatic approaches, depth approaches, archetypes, different spiritual approaches, even, you know, CBT approaches around understanding our the mistakes and our thinking, and I'm sure our rational parts could really use more of that. The point is, I believe IFS should be the centerpiece. These other modalities can certainly come in and certainly play an important role. All right, question number three, what are the benefits of IFS therapy? There are many benefits of IFS therapy. As I said, I have not written out these answers in advance, so this is going to be off the top of my head. What I have seen personally, I'll just begin with personally. I've noticed that there's so much more space inside, like emotional space, mental space. I noticed there is a much bigger space in between when something potentially triggering happens and my response to it. I have so much more clarity inside, clarity around my emotions, the thoughts that are coming in. It's now clear to me what parts are involved, what the concerns of those parts are, the history of those parts, what those parts are trying to do for me. I have also been able to heal some wounds, some emotional wounds that I did not have any clarity around. And I'll give you an example. I've long had this feeling that would come up of almost a panic, but it wasn't quite a panic. And I would feel this kind of these nerves, so kind of a nervous energy coming up in my chest, through my throat, and into my jaw, and my teeth would even chatter. And this would happen at various times. It wasn't always the same thing that would trigger it. It wouldn't happen all the time by any means. It might happen once a year. But in the process of doing my own IFS therapy with a therapist, I was able to come into contact with a very young part, like pre-verbal. And I was able to do some IFS work with this part. I won't go into it only because it would take too much explanation. I'd be happy to share it. But I was able to be with this really young part that was so young. There was no content around it. There weren't words. But since that session, I have not experienced that feeling. And I haven't experienced, and especially in scenarios and situations when I know that it would have potentially been triggered, haven't felt it. And I've had other benefits around that, or around just a reduced anxiety, reduced nerves in particular situations. So those are just the benefits that I have seen. What I have seen for clients, who I've seen improved relationships. I've seen healed relationships with family members. I've seen job changes, stepping into different career paths. I've seen people, clients able to access grief or layers of grief, levels of grief that they weren't able to access any other way. I've seen clients who have similar experiences as I have with their anxiety, feelings of fear and nerves, that when we get to really do this deep inner work, that we start to experience a sense of calmness that is not just momentary, but feels deeper and lasting. And then, of course, in internal family systems, they talk about the 8 C's of true self. And all those C words are much more available in my everyday life. And I hear this and see this with clients as well. So the C words are compassion. So there's more compassion, calmness, curiosity, creativity, clarity, confidence, courage, and connection. I think I did all 8 C's. All right. Question number 4. What are some examples of the parts in IFS therapy? So everybody refers to it as parts work. Like, what are some examples of these parts? What are we talking about here? Oftentimes when trainers or therapists are describing internal family systems and they're describing parts, they might also refer to them as sub-personalities. And trainers have said that they'll explain it to clients like, you know, these are just different aspects, different feelings, different thought patterns. Early on in my training in IFS, I was lucky enough to do a couple weeks training with an experienced practitioner and trainer. His name is Bob Falconer. And he said in this training, and the training was full of other therapists, and he said, I know this is going to sound strange, but if you treat parts as sacred beings, BEINGS beings, then the work's going to go so much faster. It's just going to be so much easier. And that was kind of surprising to me to hear at the time, because I was not prepared for that. Sacred beings, I don't know if I can do that, because I was very comfortable thinking about parts as metaphors, defense mechanisms, protective cognitive mechanisms, but to think about them as sacred beings, that was difficult. But I eventually started to act in my sessions with clients, act as if parts are sacred beings. And sure enough, he was right. When I just let go of the skepticism and the analysis and just treated parts as sacred beings, then the work did go so much faster and was so much easier. So the way that I see parts, and I don't try to get too analytical about this because I feel like it does negatively affects the IFS work, but I see parts as these beings inside that make up our entire personality, and that everything we do in the outside world or connected to the outside world is coming through parts. And so right now there's a part that is helping me think about this and analyze it, figure things out, attempt to be coherent. There's another part that kind of has the role of being the performer, you know, so I know this is going to be recorded and is going to go out on the podcast. And so what I like to say is, you know, true self is not going to do your taxes. True self actually doesn't do anything in itself that this life force, I like to think about the true self as a life force, that it comes through, ideally, it comes through our parts, that this true self life force, this true self energy can be like wind in the sails of our parts. So in internal family systems training, they often talk about a self-led system, that ideally we're trying to move toward our systems being self-led, but ultimately it's parts that have to do all this stuff in the world. I don't know if any of that made sense, but trust me, it will make sense as you go on in your own IFS journey. The other thing I'll say about parts is that we are going to learn about the IFS model, the different types of parts, or rather I should say not types of parts, but the different jobs parts can take on. So we'll learn about the roles of exiles, the role of managers, the role of firefighters. So these are just different jobs that parts take on in our system. Question number five. What does an IFS therapy session typically look like? Well, I know for other IFS therapists, sessions can vary quite a bit. There can be just some normal conversation. It can look kind of like regular talk therapy. And then there can be what might look and feel like a meditation where the client will close their eyes and they're asked to go inside and start to relate to parts or to a part inside. For me, what I like to do in my sessions is talk just for a little bit. Hey, how's it going? What's gone on this last week? And just really, really brief. I like to do it within 5 or 10 minutes and then identify a part or maybe pick up a part that we left off with in the previous week. And then we go into it. I invite clients to find a comfortable position. They could lay down, sit up, whatever feels good to them, close their eyes, begin by taking a few deep breaths, and then drop in. And I'll invite them to go to that part so you can feel that part in your body. And then we just start to go from there. So that is what a typical IFS session is like for me. Other than that, there is no such thing as a typical IFS session because these are so dependent on a person's system, a particular part in the system, what other parts are feeling and doing at that time, what else is going on in that person's life. It varies so much from week to week. So it's hard to say what is going to happen. Or it's impossible to say. It's one of the things I love about doing this work. A client can come in and say, oh yeah, I know there's a part that I really want to get to know. And we might start with that part, but there might be another part that's really upset with that original part. And then we need to go to the part that's really upset. So we end up going to just a totally different part than we thought we were going to go to. So we never know. Keep a totally open mind, and we go where the system is ready to go and wants to go. Question number six. How does IFS therapy help in healing trauma? Well, there's a specific protocol for this in the IFS framework, the IFS model. We begin in our IFS practice by getting to know protector parts. So we don't just go to the trauma. We never go straight to the trauma. In IFS, we call the parts holding trauma or holding the pain of a trauma. We call those parts exiles. And so in IFS practice, we never just go straight to the exiles. The reason why is that we see our entire system as a relatively delicate ecosystem. And so we don't just go in with bulldozers and just go straight, you know, to the roots. We work slowly and securely and safely by going first to the protector parts. Their job has been for years, for decades, since we were kids, their job has been to keep the pain of the trauma, if it's childhood trauma, to keep it down, to keep it away. And so if we were to go straight to the pain, straight to the trauma, these protector parts can have some serious backlash. They can be very angry because they've been working very hard to keep this pain down. And all of a sudden it's out, it's in the system, it's flooding around. And so what we want to do is begin by getting to know protector parts, getting to know that whole protective system, managers and firefighters. And then once enough trust has been built, protector parts will then be perfectly okay. In fact, they will want us to go to the exiles. They'll want us to go to the parts carrying the pain of childhood, emotional trauma. So we go slowly, and I believe it's the Marines. There's a saying, slow is smooth and smooth is fast, I think. So we go slow, but slow is smooth, and that's the fastest way. Because if we go straight to the trauma, we're going to have a lot of other stuff that we need to deal with and clean up. Once a protector part is okay and gives permission to go to an exiled part carrying the pain, then there's a whole other set of steps that we go through to build that trust with the exile part. And then eventually, over time, as we build this trust, exile parts can unburden, is the term that we use in IFS. That is letting go of the beliefs, of the feelings, of the stories, the scenes that have burdened them, have weighed them down. And so we help these exiles release them in whatever way the exile wants. And then after this process, exiles can then reintegrate into our system as full parts. They don't have to be locked away. They don't have to be shunned. They become fully integrated members of our whole system. Question number 7, what is the role of the capital S self in IFS therapy, and how is it different from the parts? So I've already talked a little bit about this, especially when Richard Schwartz discovered this idea of the self, this kind of spiritual core. So yes, the self is this spiritual core inside of us. It is full of these 8 C's that I talked about before: calmness, compassion, clarity, connection, courage, confidence, creativity. I won't go through them, but I did name all 8 a few questions back without looking at any reminders. These 8 C's, the way that I like to describe how the self works in relation to parts is we can think about the self, capital S self, as the sun, and parts as clouds. And so when we have these dark, rainy clouds just totally covering up the sky, we can think of those as intense, extreme protector parts and exile parts carrying lots of pain. And so the sun behind these clouds is perfectly whole, right? The sun is as bright and strong as it has ever been. The clouds being there do not affect the sun at all. And so we can think about this in terms of one of the fundamental truths of IFS, that our true self remains undamaged regardless of what happened to us. So even the worst trauma, of course, it deeply affects our parts, but our true self remains totally unscathed. So we can think about this sun behind these dark clouds, and that what IFS helps us do is slowly but steadily go to these clouds, get to know them, build that trust, and they begin to ease back. And when they ease back, the sun just shines through. So we don't need to try to be more compassionate, try to be, you know, more connected, try to do any of this stuff. It's already there. It's right inside, as strong as it ever was. And all we need to do is start relating with our parts, building that trust, and then they ease back. This is really the most important aspect of IFS, is the capital S self. This is it. This is what ultimately heals our young, wounded parts. It's what ultimately will lead our integrated, harmonious system after we've had these big unburdenings. The true self is really the key here. And it's quite liberating in the context of being an IFS practitioner that I don't need to worry about having all the answers. I do need to know the model, right? I do need to have an idea for where we're at in the model and kind of what pathways look more promising to suggest and to go down. But ultimately, I know that I can just relax back because the client's true self is eventually going to lead the way. Well, okay, I'm going to drop a little weirdness here. This isn't talked about upfront with in a lot of IFS trainings, but it's a really cool thing to get to know that parts also have a true self. Is that it's this fractal nature of parts and self going all the way down and all the way up. That can be really trippy to think about, but it is really liberating in the context of practicing IFS, that if we can begin to just build this trust in the system, that not only is there going to be more true self for us, our own self, having more space, all these 8 C's in our system, but parts also, once they become unburdened, are going to have more access to their own true self energy as well. And so we don't need to worry about controlling them. We don't need to worry about getting them to behave or do the right thing. That they're going to know. They are going to know. Question number 8. If IFS is so great, why isn't it as widespread as something like CBT or DBT? And actually, the way this question was first phrased was, if IFS is so great, why doesn't every single person know about it? Why, you know, why isn't it everywhere? Well, in therapeutic circles, it has become widely well known. I don't think you would find a practicing therapist today who hasn't at least heard of internal family systems and isn't at least somewhat familiar with its tenets. To get into IFS level 1 training, there's a lottery for it, and it often takes years to get in. It took me like a year or so for my lottery ticket to come in and get into the training. So lots of people know about it. Lots of people want to get trained in it, and lots of people are getting trained in it. They are, from what I understand, the Internal Family Systems Institute is trying to ramp up the training as much as possible while still maintaining the quality. And I don't know about their efforts to ramp up the quantity, but I can say from my own experience, they are definitely doing an amazing job with the quality. The trainers were just fantastic. And I've taken other trainings outside of the Internal Family Systems Institute from trainers who do work on with the IFSI. And those trainers are amazing as well. They have such an amazing crew. Okay, all that is to say, why isn't IFS as widespread as it is? Well, my first thing I would say is it's becoming much more widespread. And if these trends continue, I think IFS is going to be, I think one day it could be standard of care for mental and emotional health. But one of the things that might keep it from really spreading as quickly as one would want is that IFS therapists, really good ones, need to be doing their own work, their own IFS work on their own parts with their own self, that the ability of an IFS therapist is dependent on them doing this work for themselves. And I don't know that that's the case with other therapeutic modalities. And so that might be a limiting factor. That might also be a really beautiful limiting factor that, wow, I mean, all the people who come through the IFS training, they start to do this work on themselves, they fall in love with this model, and they continue to do that work. And they all go on, well, I don't know that they all go on, but most of them go on to become amazing IFS therapists, and they keep up with their own work. But I see that as maybe potentially one limiting factor, that it's not something that you can phone in. It's not just a skill that you learn and then you just kind of do the skill. I believe that really good IFS practitioners need to continue to do this work on themselves with another IFS therapist, with another IFS practitioner. Right. Question number 9, can IFS therapy be self-administered or is a trained therapist always necessary? Well, I will say I have done some really important work that has just been self-administered, no doubt about it. I believe that people can do a lot of work on their own. And I think even after seeing therapists, it's necessary to do work. So if you see an IFS therapist, you should be doing work in between your sessions, checking in on parts, speaking for parts rather than from parts. We're going to learn about a lot. In fact, this is a good spot for me to say that we are going to be learning about a lot of stuff that we can do on our own in the studio circle. That's the main focus. So yes, tons of work can be done just on our own. I do think, however, that ultimately to heal some of the bigger parts or to do work on really big protectors in our system, it's super helpful to do it with an IFS therapist or an IFS practitioner. I think it can be done in groups. It can be done with other people who are just going to help you see, like, oh, a part just came in there. There's an analytical part that's really trying to figure this out. There's a part that's trying really hard right now. And so the biggest value, I think, that an IFS practitioner can bring is pointing out when other parts start to get in the way. We might know, oh, I want to go to this, you know, 13-year-old part that's, you know, gets really upset about X, Y, and Z, and I want to learn more about him, and I really want to get to the root of what's going on for him. But as you go in, you might, or you're surely going to encounter other parts. And some of these parts will be able to see, oh yeah, there's a part that does not like the 13-year-old. So we can see that. We can ask that other part to relax back so we can just be with the 13-year-old. But we might not see the analytical part, the part that's really just trying to figure it out and analyze. You might not also see parts that like to, or that have the job of clouding difficult feelings out or numbing difficult feelings. And so we might get close to something and then it goes away and we're wondering what happened. So an IFS practitioner can really help with that. But again, there's a lot of work that can be done just on our own. And there's a lot of work that can be done in groups as well. And we're going to be doing this in the IFS studio circle. So I'm looking forward to seeing you. Okay, number 10. What are some of the criticisms or limitations of IFS therapy? when I saw this question come in, I thought, okay, I'm just going to try to answer this one off the top of my head. And I immediately just hit a wall. I was like, ooh, gosh, I guess this shows I don't really hang in the right circles because I actually don't know what the criticisms of IFS are. So, you know what I did is I asked ChatGPT to give me some common criticisms or limitations of internal family systems. So I'm going to just read the main bullet points, or I'm going to leave out a few. So it had some, like one was training and competence, that basically it's hard to get into the trainings. So that doesn't seem to be a massive criticism. It's just hard to get into the trainings. Not enough people have access to the trainings. Another one was lack of diversity. Like, you know, most of the people doing the trainings, most of the people in the trainings are cisgendered, white, hetero people. And that's, you know, I was one of them. I still am one of them. So I'll put those to the side because that's not really a problem with the model. That's just a problem. That's just, you know, this is the world we live in. It's hard to get into the trainings, and most people just statistically are cisgendered and heterosexual. And then in the context of the United States, the majority of people are who are therapists who are going to apply for these trainings are going to be white. So it's what we'd call a structural issue. So it's not a problem with the model. Okay. The problems or the criticisms around the model. First is research limitations. So there is good research showing that IFS can be effective. But what this says is that there have not been large scale randomized control trials. And I do know that there is a larger scale IFS related study underway. There are a bunch of smaller IFS studies that have been done that have shown effectiveness. But yeah, we don't have, you know, the big large scale randomized control trials. Second is complexity of the model. So ChatGPT says the IFS model proposes a complex internal system of parts, which some people may find difficult to grasp. It requires a level of introspection and self-awareness that some clients may find challenging, particularly at the outset of therapy. I think that it can be, for a lot of people, it is difficult at the outset. I think that's a fair criticism. But in my estimation, if a client sticks with this for a couple of sessions, it really becomes intuitive. It really makes a lot of sense because we're just asking, what do you notice? Can you slow down and just notice that feeling has a sensation in your body? And then we can start to get a little closer to it. We can start to notice some more details about it. And then we might even be able to slow down and hear that this feeling has a word, maybe a couple of words coming. And then we just start to get more details around these parts. And so it can be difficult at first and it feels odd at first, but it then eventually becomes really intuitive. And the model itself can be very deep. Yes, it can be complex, but that's for the practitioner or the therapist. For the client, it doesn't need to be complex. The third criticism is inappropriateness for certain conditions. So while what ChatGPT says is while IFS can be useful for a wide range of mental health conditions, it may not be suitable for all. People with severe psychiatric conditions such as psychosis or severe dissociative disorders may require different or additional treatment approaches. Now, I don't work with this population, so I cannot speak to that, but for the afflictions that plague most people, at least in the US today, like depression and anxiety, IFS is very, very effective. All right, number four here, overemphasis on individuality. So this one was really interesting. ChatGPT says, some critics argue that IFS places too much emphasis on individual inner work, potentially minimizing the impact of external, societal, cultural, or structural issues on a person's mental health. It may also not sufficiently address interpersonal dynamics and relational trauma in some cases. So the first part, I think, is fair. The second part, not so much. There are there's a whole level two training around intimate relationships and couples therapy with IFS. It's beautiful. It's powerful. There's a new edition of a relationship IFS book out now called You Are the One You've Been Waiting For. You should read it. It's amazing. So I think the relationship part, not so much. The overemphasis on individuality, I don't know that that is a totally fair criticism, but the second part, it may not sufficiently address interpersonal dynamics. Oh, I'm sorry, the first part. Some critics argue that IFS places too much emphasis on individual inner work, potentially minimizing the impact of external societal, cultural, or structural issues. IFS does focus on our own individual inner work. It does not say that societal or cultural issues don't matter, that they, that we should be able to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. By no means do IFS trainers or the IFS model suggest this. Because it's a systems approach, there is a healthy respect for the effect of societal and cultural forces. But the model itself is really all about inner work, individual inner work. I could say more on this, that, you know, it's not about policy change and structural changes, although it could be very effective for people who are doing that work, who are seeking those policy or structural changes. But IFS itself is really about the individual. The last criticism that ChatGPT highlights here is spiritual language and concepts. So it says, some people might feel uncomfortable with the spiritual language and concepts that are sometimes used in IFS therapy, such as the idea of self or core self. Yeah, no doubt. For people who, the interesting thing I'll have to say is at the beginning of doing this work, I would be very shy with clients and I would around the spiritual stuff. And I'd say, okay, brace yourself. There's going to be some weird, this is weird, but the true self in IFS is kind of a spiritual idea. And I'm sorry, but you know, we're just going to have to deal with it. And I have not had a single client yet have an issue with it. And I thought, even the ones who I was sure, you know, were going to scoff at it or might think, oh God, you know, this is way too woo-woo. Once they get into it, yeah, I have not seen a single person have an issue with it. And I myself, years of just being a kind of garden variety, you know, secular academic, I've loved the spiritual aspect of it. But those are the criticisms, at least according to ChatGPT. I'd be happy to hear any other criticisms that are out there. I think this model is so robust, so flexible, so powerful that I really don't think there are a lot of big criticisms or limitations out there. All right, I am so excited to start our IFS Studio Circle. It will be our first live session, will be July 25th. We'll help put links to join Yes Collective, or if you're already a member, we have links to jump into the Studio Circle. It's going to be, I think, a wonderful 4 weeks. This is only going to be level one. We're also going to be doing level two. So I'm really looking forward to it. I will see you all in the Studio Circle. Thank you for joining me for this solo Yes Collective podcast. I think our next episode is also going to be me without Jenny because she wasn't able to make it. I am going to be interviewing an amazing IFS therapist and trainer, Sue Richmond. I'm so excited for this episode that will be coming out next week. So buckle up and I'll see you then.
Hey, if you like what we're doing here at Yes Collective Podcast, please subscribe on your favorite podcast player, share it with other parents in your life, and give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Yes Collective is a mental health movement for all parents, so let's spread the love.